The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7. The Game.
Come on!
Welcome in. Good morning. Happy Monday morning. Mark Randy filling in for Joe Spadoni as our jacked up week gets underway here on 95.7 The Game. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you are in for one hell of a week. It's going to be a ton of fun all week long here on 95.7 The Game. Our shows are switching time slots for this week only. So you get to hear me here from 5 to 6 a.m. every morning this week, Monday through Friday, following me. The show that I work on, Willard and Dibs, they're on their way in now. I would imagine they'll be here shortly. You hear them at 6 a.m. all the way up until 10. The morning roast time slot is Willard and Dibs this week. Following Willard and Dibs is the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky in the Steiny and Guru time slot. And then after Bonte and Shasky get done at 2 o'clock, they're on the air from 10 to 2. Once they're done, Steiny and Guru will take us home from 2 to 6. So looking forward to that. It's going to be a really fun week here on 95.7 The Game, and I'm excited to get you started here on this Monday morning. Good morning to everyone getting ready for the day, getting ready for the work week. It's a pleasure to be with you here on 95.7 The Game, and we got a lot to get to because how about that Giants game yesterday? A wild game, to say the least. It started in a really, really fun fashion. Giants had a lead throughout the majority of the game, and Blake Snell, his second consecutive dominant outing, and this one was more dominant than the most recent one before this. He had a perfect game, not just a no-hitter, but a perfect game through 6 innings, and he faced the minimum through 7. There was a leadoff single in the 7th inning by Manuel Margot, then he immediately turned around and got Willie Castro to run into a double play, got the final out of the 7th, and he faced the minimum, only one hit allowed through those 7 innings, and he only threw 80 pitches. And that's not a lot for a number of starters, but considering Blake Snell and what this season has been, that's a good amount. So the Giants took him out after those seven innings, and then ultimately, it wasn't smooth after that. Tyler Rogers came in and pitched a perfect eighth inning, easy 1-2-3, no stress from Tyler Rogers. And then Camilo Doval came in the ninth inning, and it got ugly quick. The Twins tied the game up with a two-run double by Manuel Margot. He was the same guy who broke up the perfecto in the seventh inning. He doubled into the left center field gap, drove in two, only one out. Now a tie game, and the go-ahead run for the Twins is on second base. And Bob Melvin says, all right, you know what, Camilo? You've lost your opportunity. I'm pulling you now. I'm scared that you're going to give up another run and we're going to lose this game potentially. So Ryan Walker comes in, I think on just two pitches, closes the door, keeps it a tie game, and then Mike Yastrzemski leads things off in the bottom of the ninth inning, and here's how it sounded on NBC Sports Bay Area.
Giants second in all the major leagues in walk-off wins this year with eight.
Hit towards Triples Alley, and it's going to hang up. And it's going to get by Margot. There's Yastrzemski on the move. It's a triple, and it throws it to the dugout, and this game is over.
How about that? I didn't see that one coming.
And then Yaz walks it off. It was a little league walk-off home run for the San Francisco Giants, and they win the series. Wow, what a moment that was. The Giants end up winning. They desperately needed it. Yastrzemski with a triple. It was almost caught in shallow or medium deep right center field. It wasn't like a normal triple into Triples Alley. It was kind of like just a perfectly placed medium deep fly ball. And Manuel Margot, the center fielder, couldn't quite get there. He made a great effort. And if you're him, I guess you could understand it. It was at the very least going to be a leadoff double. If he plays it conservatively, gets it on a hop, he probably keeps Yastrzemski to a double. But still, a leadoff double, you think that run is going to eventually come around to score anyway. So if you're Margot, I think it's high risk, high reward, but it's worth the risk. You go out and you try to lay out for it. You try to make a crazy catch knowing you're probably not going to be able to do it and you're losing 90 feet, although an important 90 feet. But again, maybe you feel like a runner on second, nobody out, and Yaz with good speed is eventually going to come around and score anyway. All it would take is two productive outs, or it would take a single, or it would take a mistake for the Twins, and then a productive out. You know, I mean, it's like the ghost runner, the runner that begins extra innings on second base. That's essentially the situation the Giants would have been in. So Margot takes the risk, doesn't pay off, but the game shouldn't be over. And the Twins decide to throw to third base when Yastrzemski is basically already standing on third. They had no chance to throw him out at third. The ball goes well over the third baseman's head, sails into the Giants' dugout, and the Giants walk it off. That's now two kind of crazy, wild walk-off wins for the Giants on this homestand. And it's, what, two of the three wins on this homestand. It was the only game they won. Earlier in the homestand against the Blue Jays. It was the first game of that series, if I'm not mistaken, when they walked off on the walk-off wild pitch. They got past the catcher. They win that game. They end up losing that series. They win this series. And then, you know, they do it with it. What happened yesterday. The walk-off Little League home run. The triple, which really was like more like a double, but a risky play by Margot allowed it to be a triple. And then the throwing error into third when they had no business trying to get Yastrzemski at third anyway. And that ended the game, and the Giants win, and they desperately needed it. Mark Randy with you here on the pregame show. You can shoot me a text, 888-957-9570, as our jacked-up week begins here on 95.7 The Game. It's a pleasure filling in for Joe Spadoni here this week. It's going to be a fun week on 95.7 The Game. I'm with you from 5 to 6 all week. Willard and Dibbs, they'll be filling in on the morning roast time slot. So 6 to 10, Willard and Dibbs. After Willard and Dibbs, you will hear Bonte and Shasky on the morning roast from 10 until 2. And then after Bonte and Shasky, it'll be Steiny and Guru from 2 to 6. Looking forward to that. It should be a ton of fun all week long as our Jacked Up Week presented by Jack's Restaurant gets going here on 95.7 The Game. But again, shoot me a text. 888-957-9570. That's also our call-in line, but the Xfinity mobile text line, 888-957-9570. And I've got our YouTube chat up, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Good morning to everyone tuning in. It's a pleasure to be with you here on this Monday morning on 95.7 The Game. I want to replay the Yaz walk-off really quick because there's one fan, and you might have heard it when I played it for the first time. There's one fan who is just screaming at the top of his lungs, and this call comes courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. It's Kruk and Kipe, as always, two of the best to ever do it. But there's one Giants fan in attendance at Oracle Park, and he must be near one of the on-field mics because the NBC Sports Bay Area mics are picking him up very well, and you can hear every single word that he's saying. Let's listen to it one more time, and again, focus on the beginning and listen for just one specific fan screaming.
Giants second in all the major leagues in walk-off wins this year with 8.
Hit towards Triples Alley, and it's going to hang up, and it's going to get by Margo. There's Yastrzemski on the move. It's a triple, and it throws into the dugout, and this game is over. How about that?
I didn't see that one coming.
So at the very beginning there, again, that's Kruk and Kipe on NBC Sports Bay Area. You hear a certain Giants fan in full throat screams, "You're a bum!" And it's obviously to the Twins pitcher. And then the very next second, Yastrzemski connects with, again, a fly ball that ended up being medium deep right center field. But I think off the bat, at least a lot of fans felt like it could have found its way to Triples Alley, which kind of it did. It wasn't really your prototypical triple in Triples Alley. It kind of got there. But off the bat, you kind of feel like, oh, this might be extra bases. And maybe if we get lucky, it's a home run. And after you hear the fan yell that the pitcher's a bum, then you hear the crack of the bat. And then you hear the fan go, oh, listen one more time.
Giants second in all the major leagues in walk-off wins this year with 8.
Oh, that was great. And the Giants really needed that win because if you go into the All-Star break, and yeah, it is officially the All-Star break now across Major League Baseball. If you go into the All-Star break losing a game like that, losing a series like this, and losing consecutive series at home like this, oh, that would have been a tough pill to swallow over the next 4 days. Giants don't play again until Friday. You got Monday off, Tuesday off, Wednesday off, Thursday off. That would have been difficult to swallow. So they desperately, desperately needed this win. With the win, they're now 3 games under 500 at 47-50. And as we look right now, they are 3 games out of the final wild card spot in the National League. I think there is a little bit of reason to be confident for the Giants at this stage. And it's really only because of Blake Snell. Blake Snell has been absolutely masterful his last two starts. You look at what he's done in his last two starts. This includes yesterday, 7 innings of one-hit ball. No runs, just one base runner, the one hit, no walks. That might be the biggest one for Blake Snell. No walks over 7 innings pitched yesterday, and he struck out 8 batters on just 80 pitches over 7 innings. So he was incredibly efficient as well. Only 80 pitches through 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 8 walks, or 8 strikeouts and no walks. But his last two starts now, Blake Snell, 12 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 11 strikeouts, and 3 walks. It seems like Blake Snell is fully back. It seems like he's found his stride, and maybe he's not fully up, you know, to being able to throw 100 pitches, and that's going to come soon. But in terms of being able to command all of his pitches, being able to spot his fastball and have it set up his curveball, it seems like he's back to his Cy Young self that won the Cy Young last year with the San Diego Padres. He's been incredible. And I think what was the issue for Blake Snell early in the year, and you can let me know your thoughts on Blake Snell by shooting me a text on the Xfinity mobile text line, 888-957-9570, or shooting me a text on our YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Watching Blake Snell early in the season, and when he was actually healthy and pitching, because he's had two IL stints, and he's also had, you know, a case of not even being ready to play because he signed so late into the offseason. He just had zero command of his off-speed stuff, and particularly his curveball. And if I'm a hitter, and I'm going up against Blake Snell, who's got incredibly nasty stuff, he's so difficult to hit, especially his off-speed stuff. When he's got his curveball working, it's one of the toughest pitches in baseball to hit. If I'm a hitter, and I have a plan of attack against Blake Snell, and I realize he's unable to spot and to locate his off-speed stuff and, again, to focus on that curveball, he's unable to do that, I am just simply not going to look for anything other than fastball. Like, that's how hitters were planning their at-bats against Blake Snell. I don't trust that he can get his curveball or his off-speed stuff in the zone. So whenever I see something that's not straight, I'm not going to swing. I'm not going to swing because it's going to be a ball more likely than not. So then what happens is you just have hitters over and over and over and over again sitting dead red waiting for a fastball. And Snell, you know, he can throw mid to upper 80 or 90s. Like he got some juice on his fastball, and it's not the easiest thing to hit either. But you're talking about a straight 96, 97, 98 mile an hour fastball versus one of the best curveballs in the league. I'd rather hit the straight fast pitch than, you know, the slower bendy one, if you know what I'm talking about. And that's the plan that hitters took against Blake Snell. They would see the off-speed out of the hand, and they'd just say, all right, I'm laying off. And more often than not, it would be a ball. If Blake Snell continued to throw those breaking balls and they continued to miss the zone, he would walk a hitter because the hitters would, they just knew he can't find the zone with those pitches. When I see those pitches, not fastballs, I'm not going to swing. That's changed now the last 2 days. It's changed because now he's been, or the last two starts for him, because now he's been able to spot his off-speed stuff into the zone, and it keeps the hitters honest. Now they have to think about hitting his off-speed pitch. And guess what? Hitting Blake Snell is not easy. When he is getting multiple pitches in the zone like he has the last two starts, hitting Blake Snell is not easy. It gets a whole lot easier when you're only looking for fastballs, because that's the only thing he can put in the zone. Now he's putting a number of his pitches into the zone. The last two starts he has, and that's made it a lot more difficult on hitters. So Blake Snell is a reason for the Giants to feeling confident at this stage. It really is. That might be the only reason to feel confident, and we can get to that a little bit later here on the pregame show. That's Mark Grandy in for Joe Spadoni here this week as our jacked up week gets underway on 95.7 The Game. Again, Mark Grandy in for Joe Spadoni. We've got a fun week here on 95.7 The Game. I'll be with you from 5 to 6 all week long, filling in for Spadoni as we shuffle around our show schedules. Willard and Dibbs are on their way in right now. They'll take the air at 6 to 10. They're in the morning roast time slot this week. Should be a ton of fun. Willard and Dibbs from 6 to 10. Then Bonte and Shasky from the morning roast on the Steiny and Goo time slot, 10 to 2. And then Steiny and Goo will wrap things up in the afternoon from 2 to 6. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a ton of fun all week long here on 95.7 The Game. But going back to what happened yesterday at Oracle Park, the Giants win 3-2. They closed the first half with a wild walk-off win. Blake Snell was perfect through six, faced the minimum through seven, didn't walk a single batter, 80 pitches, got taken out after seven innings. And it all seemed hunky-dory, right? It was all going to be good. And then Camilo Doval blew the save in the ninth, and you're wondering, okay, first of all, are they even going to win this game? Are they going to go into the All-Star break with this kind of loss fresh in their minds? They didn't. There was the walk-off triple plus error that allowed Yastrzemski to score and the Giants win. Okay, good. Giants got to win. I also think they exhaled a bit. They breathed a sigh of relief when Blake Snell gave up the single to open up the seventh inning. And here is how that sounded yesterday on NBC Sports Bay Area. Leadoff hitter in the top of the seventh inning. At this point, Blake Snell was perfect through six innings.
And a base hit. So the first hit of the game, and this crowd of over 34,000 acknowledging Blake Snell.
So Giants allow a hit, and believe me, generally Giants players, Giants coaches, Giants fans don't like that. When Giants pitchers allow a hit. I think yesterday in the dugout, there was a big sigh of relief when Blake Snell gave up a hit to lead off the seventh inning. Maybe in a perfect world, it would have been with two outs in the seventh inning. Less likely that the Twins were to score. But if the Giants could script it, I think they would have wanted Blake Snell to give up a hit at some point in that inning. And ended up being fine because the very next batter, he got a double play and he faced the minimum through seven anyway. But I don't think Bob Melvin and company wanted to have to make the decision to either allow Blake Snell to try to finish off a perfect game. I mean, we're talking about a perfect game here. That's different than a no-hitter. Paul Skeens got pulled late last week. I think, was it on Friday, Thursday? Late last week with a seven-inning no-hitter. And then the Pirates bullpen blew it, I think, very early in the eighth inning. But he got pulled with a seven-inning no-hitter. Paul Skeens obviously throws, like, fireballs every single time he throws. And he's very, very young. And he's a rookie. Been in the bigs for only a couple of months and about to start the All-Star game for the National League tomorrow, on Tuesday. That's a no-hitter. That's a little bit different. And you also are kind of protecting your young stud who you want to be your starting pitcher for like the next 12 seasons. So that's understandable. That's a no-hitter. That's entirely different. Not to say that no-hitters are common necessarily, but we're talking about a perfect game here. Snell was perfect through six. And say what you want about the Giants wanting to protect Blake Snell and doing what's best for him and the team, and what's best for him on the team is keeping him healthy because he's one of the few quality starting pitchers the Giants have at this moment. A perfect game is exceedingly rare in baseball history. So incredibly rare. Only one has happened in the history of the Giants organization. And the Giants organization is one of the most storied and historic franchises in the game. It was Matt Cain, as we all well know, back in 2012. Like, this is the only time it's happened in Giants history. If Blake Snell was perfect through seven, even if the Giants were dreading the idea of Blake Snell throwing more pitches, I don't know how you could possibly take him out with a perfect game going. Now, if he was at, like, 97 pitches through seven and it was perfect, maybe we have the beginnings of a conversation. But 80 pitches through seven, even though he was, I think, probably slated to throw maybe 85, 90 at the max yesterday, if he's perfect through seven with only 80 pitches thrown, even 85 pitches thrown, I don't know how you would have been able to take him out. And Brian Price, who's the Giants pitching coach, was on the NBC Sports Bay Area postgame show yesterday, and he was asked that very question. Hey, Brian, Blake Snell's perfect through seven. You pitching him again in the eighth inning? Here's Brian Price.
You know, that's it's a great question, and one I probably can't answer honestly because I didn't really know. You know, at that point in time, we know that we had gotten Blake up and down five times in his rehabs, going from five innings to nine innings. As much as the pitch count might have been low, you're still cooling off and having to go back out. I think that as much as the populace thinks that these guys are just going to go out there and chase the perfect game or chase the no-hitter, I think those days are kind of over, especially with the injuries and the investments in the players and their health. I think we would have played it pitch by pitch, inning by inning, for sure.
That's Brian Price, Giants pitching coach, yesterday post-game on NBC Sports Bay Area. I agree with you, coach, if it was a no-hitter. And I think he kind of tipped his hand a little bit. I mean, he first said, it's a very good question. I don't really know the answer to that. If they would have let him go out there for the eighth, if the perfect game was still intact, I'm very confident that they would have at least let him start the eighth with 80 pitches if the perfect game was still intact, which is why I think there was a gigantic sigh of relief from, at the very least, the coaching staff, specifically the pitching staff, in the dugout when Manuel Margot singled to lead off the game or lead off the seventh inning, because it gave the Giants an out. It gave them an out. They would have taken maybe a walk or an error, just get rid of the perfect game, because, you know, you see all the time. Again, it just happened with Paul Skenes late last week. You see all the time a starting pitcher has a no-no going, and the coaches say, too bad, sorry, we're protecting you. We're saving your arm. And I'm not blaming the coaching staff or managers for ever making that decision. I think it's the decision that's in the best interest of all those organizations that do it, but a perfect game is different. And you heard Brian Price say there at the very end, again, Brian Price is the Giants pitching coach. You heard him say yesterday on the postgame show on NBC Sports Bay Area, you heard him say, we would have taken it, you know what, like at bat, pitch by pitch. That seems to me like he was going back out there for the eighth, of the perfecto was still intact. So Giants fans, I think, happy. Or not, maybe not Giants fans. I don't know what you were rooting for. I was rooting for a perfect game. And know there's a little bit of risk that maybe Blake Snell, you know, ends up throwing 100 pitches. You know, who knows? Maybe more. I mean, 80 through 7, it's a pretty good pace, but you're probably going to throw more than 20 pitches for the final two innings that you're going out there for. He was going to be over 100 if he finished it off and had the perfecto going. And that's a little dangerous, and it's a little scary if you're the Giants, because Blake Snell, who you have been waiting for so long to finally pitch well, has started pitching well. And you're in a situation, the San Francisco Giants are, where while you do have your starting pitching depth returning soon, not quite yet, but soon, Blake Snell is part of that, and he's made two starts now since coming off of the IL with that groin injury he suffered in early June. It was that start against the Yankees where he actually was pitching really well in that game as well. It wasn't, you know, perfect through six well, but it was very, very well. And then just before he was about to finish five innings for the first time as a Giant, he came up a little bit lame and didn't pitch for about a month, a little more than a month. And now he's made two starts, and he's been awesome in both of those, including this one where he was perfect through six, faced the minimum through seven, and then was pulled after 80 pitches. But I think, you know, I was rooting for a perfect game. Again, it's one of the rarest feats in baseball. And to see it would have been absolutely incredible. But if I am looking at this from the perspective of what's best for the Giants moving forward, first of all, it's get the win. And while Blake Snell was throwing very, very well, you can't disagree with what Bob Melvin did. I mean, Tyler Rogers was awesome in the eighth inning, and he is quietly had a really incredible season, and I'll admit it, even I haven't been entirely confident in his ability to go out there and put up zeros on a consistent basis, but he has. And then Camilo Doval, who we know he's had some issues this year, has been a little bit better lately, but he was really bad yesterday, and you blow that one, and you ultimately get the win. But, I mean, priority number one for the Giants, more than chasing a perfect game, certainly more than chasing a no-hitter, was making sure you got the win. And that's kind of what got lost, at least for me, in this game yesterday. The game wasn't over. Like, I remember the Matt Cain perfect game, and that was in 2012, I think June of 2012. And it was the Giants-Astros, back when the Astros were still in the National League. And the Astros were terrible. Jose Altuve was on that team in 2012. I think the only current Astro who was on that 2012 Astros team. And the game was like, was it like 9-0, 10-0? It was over like in the fifth inning. The game was over. So the only thing that we're all caring about at that point as Giants fans, and maybe as baseball fans, I think baseball fans, maybe other than Astro fans, rooting for history. The only thing that's a question in that game the rest of the way is whether or not Kane throws a perfecto, not whether or not the Giants win or lose. That was not the case yesterday. It was a 2-0 game. I don't know how you guys felt, but I kind of got lost in the Blake Snell pitching performance and the Blake Snell perfect game no-hitter chase, that it felt like the result wasn't up for grabs. Like, it felt like it was a locked-in win for the Giants because I was so distracted by what Blake Snell was doing. And then Blake Snell gets pulled, and Rodgers comes in, and you're like, oh, this is only a 2-0 ball game. The Giants have to get this win. Like, let's buckle back down, get six more outs, and walk out of here, head into the All-Star break with a nice win, a good series win, and one that you desperately needed. And Rodgers did his part, got three outs, and dominant three outs, very easy three outs. And then Camilo Doval came in, and second and third with nobody out. There was a double after the first runner got on first, a double, second, third, nobody out. Got a strikeout. Had two strikes on Manuel Margot. Almost got him to go around. It was a check swing. Didn't go around. Kept the at-bat alive. Ultimately doubled in the left center field. Scored two. Ties the game. Runner on second. One out. Doval gets pulled. Ryan Walker comes in, I think on two pitches, closes the door to keep it a tie game. And then Yastrzemski, the walk-off little league home run to seal the deal. But the win was certainly hanging in the balance there, and the Giants ultimately got the job done. But it was a little bit scary. All right, we got to hit a break here on the pregame show. It's Mark Grandy in for Joe Spadoni as our jacked up week begins. Willard and Dibbs from 6 to 10. Bonte and Shasky from 10 to 2. Steiny and Goo from 2 to 6. It's going to be a lot of fun here on 95.7 The Game. More of the pregame show. Mark Grandy in for Spadoni coming up next right here on 95.7 The Game.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Second, and this game is tied.
Giants second in all the major leagues in walk-off wins this year with 8.
Hit towards Triples Alley. That's going to hang up, and it's going to get by Margo. There's Yastrzemski on the move. It's a triple, and it throws into the dugout, and this game is over.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back as the pregame show continues here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy in for Joe Spadoni, not just today, but this whole week. It's part of our Jacked Up Week on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Jack's Restaurant. If you don't know what that means, let me explain it to you. Our shows and their times are getting all switched around this week. Willard and Dibbs are in the morning roast time slot. So Willard and Dibbs coming up here in a half an hour, 6 to 10 every morning this week. And it's just this week only. Don't worry. A week from now, you'll be back to the normal show schedule. But Willard and Dibbs from 6 to 10 this week, followed by Bonte and Shasky from 10 to 2. They're in the Steinian Guru slot, 10 to 2, excuse me, with Bonte and Shasky. And then speaking of Steinian Guru, they're wrapping things up in the afternoons this week from 2 to 6. It is our Jacked Up Week, and I got somebody on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Let's see. Where did it go? I'm sorry, I lost it. It's buried here. 650. The 650 on the Xfinity Mobile text line asks, why is the host time slots all mixed around? For fun. For fun. It's going to be fun to experience. A morning show with Willard and Dibbs, a midday show with Bonte and Shasky, and an afternoon show with Steiny and Goo. I normally work our afternoon show, and now I got to get up at the crack of dawn, before the crack of dawn, to get in and bring you the pregame show. I'm not complaining about it. It's a lot of fun, but it's just an entirely different schedule. I normally start working around 11 every day, and now, this week, I'll be off close to 11 every day. How about that? So it's an entirely different schedule. It's going to be a lot of fun experiencing it this week, and we hope you enjoy it too as well on 95.7 The Game. But we're talking Giants here on the pregame show, 888-957-9570. Also see on the Xfinity Mobile text line from the 510, Oreo Cookie tuning in and send some texts talking about what the A's did yesterday. Yeah, the A's, how many runs did they score yesterday? Like 20? They scored 18 runs yesterday. The A's, believe it or not, have like the 3 highest scoring single game outputs in baseball this year. They scored like 20 once, they scored 19, they scored 18 a couple of the times. They have like the 3 highest scoring single team games in baseball this year. And they hit like 8 home runs yesterday. Lawrence Butler hit 3 of them, and it was against the Phillies of all teams. So good win for the A's, 18-3 as they go into the All-Star break with a win, but so do the Giants. As you just heard coming back from break, it was a crazy game, and the highlights courtesy, again, Kruk and Kipe on NBC Sports Bay Area. You had a lot of things that were going on in that game. You had Blake Snell pitching out of his mind. He had a perfecto through 6. The perfect game and the no-hitter were broken up the first batter of the 7th inning when Manuel Margot singled. And then you had Blake Snell still facing the minimum through 7. Then he comes out. You have a 2-0 lead. And then Camilo Doval blows a save in the blink of an eye. And after that, Yastrzemski hits kind of a looping liner into medium deep right center field. It gets past Manuel Margot, who tried to dive and make an acrobatic catch for it. Couldn't. Got past him. An easy stand-up triple for Yastrzemski. And then the Twins, this was the issue of the whole thing. Margot diving for the ball and trying to grab it. Okay, that's whatever. As I was talking about earlier, like the risk reward there makes sense. If I'm an outfielder for the Twins, the reward is you get a leadoff out and you erase an extra base hit. I'm talking about Margot's decision to dive for it. It seemed unlikely he was going to catch it. It wasn't the most crisp route. But it also was just perfectly placed by Yastrzemski, and maybe Margot was lined up a little more towards left center field than right center field. Maybe he was playing straightaway center instead of playing into right center and guarding Triple's Alley. Generally, that's a little bit more on the right fielder who plays so far off the right field line to protect deep into Triple's Alley in right center. But for whatever reason, Margot was having a hard time getting there, the center fielder for the Twins. But it's worth the risk, in my opinion, to try to lay out and dive and catch that ball, because you'd be taking away an extra base hit. And what's the difference? The risk there, the realistic risk of making that play is 90 feet. It's a double or it's a triple. And obviously, if you're the Twins, you'd much rather have a runner on second with nobody out than a runner on third with nobody out. But also, you feel, if you're the Giants, pretty good about your chances to score, although this is the Giants we're talking about, so who knows. But if you're the Giants, you should be able to score with a runner on second and nobody out anyway. So I got no problem with Margot laying out and try to make that catch, even if it was unlikely at best. He didn't catch it, got by him, led to a triple for Yastrzemski. Okay, it is what it is. But what's really astounding was the decision for the relay man of the Twins to throw to third. Yastrzemski's walking into third base. He is not hustling and doesn't need... I mean, that sounds bad on Yaz. He wasn't on a dead sprint. It wasn't a question as if he was going to make it. He was going to make it no matter what. He gets there standing up. And as he's like, you know, shifting down a gear and setting anchor down into third base, the throw comes in. The relay throw comes into third. And it goes way over the third baseman's head, goes into the Giants' dugout. They give Yaz an easy free 90 feet, and they win. The Giants do. I don't know what the hell the Twins were doing there. Again, I get the Margot part in center, but the throw to third base, what are you doing? The Giants will certainly take it. They desperately needed that win, and they go now into the All-Star break, three games under 500 with a record of 47-50, and they are three games out of the wild card as we head into the All-Star break. Giants will be represented by a couple of players in Texas. The Rangers hosting the All-Star game tomorrow. Elliot Ramos, of course, not starting, but is an outfielder for the Giants. And he will be on the NL All-Star team. And then Logan Webb as well, who I think on the broadcast yesterday on NBC Sports Bay Area did say that he expects to pitch. He's been an All-Star before, but his starts never lined up. He pitched like maybe the final game or one of the final games before the All-Star break, and therefore couldn't pitch in the All-Star game. He does expect to pitch at some point in the All-Star game, which we're looking forward to, of course, for the San Francisco Giants and Logan Webb. But the question becomes, if you're the San Francisco Giants, and if you're fans of the San Francisco Giants, is what has happened lately enough to make you confident about this team in the second half? I'm not so sure. There's one gigantic reason to be confident, and that is Blake Snell. And you look at what Blake Snell has done throughout his career, and it leads you to believe that he is going to continue to be dominant after the All-Star break. First six starts this season for Blake Snell. A 9.51 ERA. Only 23 2/3 innings pitched in his first six starts. That'll tell you everything you need to know. In those 23 2/3 innings, 32 hits and 14 walks. And the Giants were 2-4 in those six starts. Last two starts for Blake Snell, 12 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 11 strikeouts, and 3 walks. And this is off his most recent stint on the injured list. Last two starts, 12 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 11 strikeouts, and 3 walks. Yesterday was his best start by a mile in a Giants jersey. He was perfect through 6, faced the minimum through 7, struck out 8 in 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs, no walks. And that's the big one, no walks from Blake Snell. But you go even deeper and you look at Blake Snell career-wise and what his career numbers are. It's interesting. And it's something that, you know, a lot of us here at 95.7 The Game, and I'm sure a lot of Giants fans have heard, but to break it down just based on the numbers month by month, it is eye-opening. And we know generally he's not a first-half guy, he's a second-half pitcher, and he's much better in second halves. I got the numbers to back it up for you. In March and April, he might have pitched in a couple of games in March. These are regular season games, but sometimes the very beginning of the regular season is at the end of March. So March and April combined. Blake Snell has a career 6-12 record with an ERA of 4. In May, a career 6-12 record with an ERA 4.57. In June, 11-12 record with a career ERA of 4.44. And then here's the cutoff point. July, August, and beyond, he's incredible. In July, updated with yesterday's start, 13-6, a 2.49 ERA. In August, 19-7, a 2.6 ERA. And then in September and October combined, again, the regular season sometimes goes into the very, very end of October. September and October combined, 16-9 with a 2.25 ERA. You go from 4-plus ERAs in April, May, and June to 2.6 and below July, August, September. There's reason to believe that Blake Snell is going to pitch like a Cy Young Award winner. He won it last year. He won it years prior in Tampa as well. There's reasons to believe he will be that guy the rest of the season. Legitimate reasons to believe that. Is that enough for you to be confident in the San Francisco Giants moving forward? Is it enough? I don't know. We heard from Brian Price earlier in the show, and you're listening to the pregame show here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy in for Spadoni this week as our show schedule gets jacked up this week, brought to you by Jack's Restaurant. Willard and Dibbs coming up next. If you're watching on YouTube, you might have been able to see them walking by this window here. They are in the building. They'll take over for me in about 15 or 20 minutes. That's coming up from 6 to 10. Then Bonte and Shasky on the morning roast from 10 to 2. Willard and Dibbs vacating their afternoon slot for Steiny and Goo, who will close things out from 2 to 6. She'll be a ton of fun all week here on 95.7 The Game. But we heard from Brian Price on the postgame show yesterday on NBC Sports Bay Area talking about whether or not Blake Snell would have continued pitching if he was perfect through 7. And Brian Price, Giants pitching coach. He was also asked about the second half of the season. And here's what the Giants pitching coach had to say about their confidence going into the second half.
I think the entire team feels that we are primed to bust out after the All-Star break when we have, we know what the rotation looks like. We know that we'll have 5 healthy guys. We know we'll have guys that are continuing to develop in AAA that can give us some support if we need it, and that potentially we have the ability to kind of decrease the workload on the bullpen, which would be huge. If we could have the bullpen have a little bit lower workload and that they could be pitching more rested, I think we could anticipate having them strong through the finish of the season.
Brian Price, Giants pitching coach, saying the Giants are, quote, primed to bust out after the All-Star break. I see one reason to lead you to potentially down that road. I'm not so sure I would phrase it as primed to bust out after the All-Star break. The one reason is Blake Snell. And obviously, I mean, you have who is playing well as well. Like, the only thing new over the last, like, month for the Giants is Blake Snell. You know what you're going to get with Logan Webb. You feel confident that Elliot Ramos is real and not just a flash in the pan. Now, is he going to hit 300 over the course of a whole season? Who knows? That's an incredibly difficult thing to do in today's MLB. And is he going to continue on his, like, 35 home run pace? And he's not going to get 35, but he didn't play early in the season. He was in the minors. So if you extrapolate out based on his home run total and the number of games played over like the course of 162, it's on like a 35, nearly 40 home run pace. Is that going to continue? Probably not. But I think we can safely assume he's not going to fall off the face of the earth and hit 220 in the second half. Like, you confident that he's a quality major league player now? So you feel like you're going to get something good from him still. You know what you're going to get from Logan Webb. Matt Chapman, I think, while, you know, he's never going to hit like 280 or above, he's been awesome for this team. So you got those three things going for you, and now you've got Blake Snell going for you. Is that enough to make you confident moving forward in this Giants team? I don't know. I mean, there's reason to be more confident now than 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago. Wait, hell, even less than that. A week ago, Blake Snell started two games in the last week. If you go back to just before he came off the IL and to now, there's reason to be more confident now than then because you got Blake Snell. But is Blake Snell enough single-handedly to change the fortunes of this team? I mean, he's going to get, what, 10, 11, 12 more starts the rest of the season, the rest of the regular season? And you feel, okay, maybe he can get you a win in a bunch of those. But is he going to be able to do anything beyond that? Do the Giants have enough elsewhere to be able to get him, to get the team where they need to go? I don't know. So Brian Price saying they're primed to bust out after the All-Star break. I'm not so sure. I mean, now you got to worry about the bullpen. As Brian Price talked about there, one of the issues isn't the arms that they have in the pen, but it's what they've asked those arms to do. And what will help, The effect of Blake Snell pitching well and, you know, getting some others back, like Alex Cobb back, like potentially Robbie Ray back. There's a couple others that you could get back as well. It's going to not only give you an actual legitimate pitching staff with some serious, you know, accomplishments. Robbie Ray has also won a Cy Young Award. Alex Cobb was an All-Star just a year ago. I think that's easy to forget. You've got Logan Webb, who's like a perennial all-star and a perennial, I mean, you'd think, like top five finisher in Cy Youngs in the NL. And you got Blake Snell, who's a multi-time Cy Young Award winner. Like, that's a really good pitching staff. Now, the big if is health. As of right now, only Webb out of that group, only Webb and Snell are healthy. Alex Cobb and Robbie Ray, I think Giants are confident they're going to get both those guys back relatively soon after the All-Star break ends. But still, those are ifs. Those are questions. Those are not reasons to be confident just yet. The only thing that has changed lately is Blake Snell. Is that enough to fuel your Giants' confidence moving forward? I'm not so sure. Again, it's more reason to be confident now than a week ago, because you now have two great starts by Blake Snell. Again, his last two starts, 12 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 11 strikeouts, and 3 walks. That's Cy Young stuff right there. I feel like he's going to keep that up, but I don't know if that's enough to really change the fortunes of the Giants going forward. And I know that Willard and Dibbs are going to dive into this all show long. They're coming up in about 10 minutes here on 95.7 The Game from 6 to 10 as our jacked up weekend week gets underway on 95.7 The Game. My name's Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni here on the pregame show this week. And then it'll be Willard and Dibbs from 6 to 10 every day this week. Bonte and Shasky sliding back a show, 10 to 2, Bonte and Shasky, and then Stanny and Goo in the afternoons this week from 2 to 6. Should be a lot of fun here on 95.7 The Game. Now you got to worry about Camilo Doval in the bullpen. I mean, he's had an uneven season at the least, but I think lately he was a little bit more consistent and better in closing games, and he's kind of had these stretches, and it's what happens when you are on a team and you're the closer of a team that goes through these streaks where you're either not winning games. Or, like, the Giants tended to win games sometimes by, like, 5 or 6, and you don't need to use your closer in those moments. Like, he's had stretches where he, like, will pitch, like, once in a week. And then he'll have a stretch where he'll pitch 4 times in 5 games. And I imagine it's probably difficult to get in a rhythm that way. Like, do you remember there was the game, It was the road trip where the Giants had those crazy comebacks, so it was in Pittsburgh and in New York against the Mets, where they came back from deficits late in games, like in three games of that road trip. And then the final game of that trip, they had a lead in the ninth inning, but Doval had pitched in like the previous three games, or maybe it was three out of four or four out of five. He'd been used a lot in that road trip. And so Bob Melvin decided, like kind of pregame, Doval is unavailable today. And they brought in Tyler Rogers, I believe, to try to close the game out in the ninth. And it didn't work out. It was one of his bad outings, one of his rare bad outings of the year. And the Giants lost that game. And there was a lot of talk after that. It was like, well, you know, you need to manage your bullpen a little bit better, Bob. You couldn't really blame him in the moment, but maybe it was using Doval in a moment or in an earlier game where you didn't absolutely need him. It's kind of been a balancing act for the Giants all season, trying to figure out how to use their bullpen, and so much of it is because their starting pitching just has not been good. And that bullpen is severely overworked and overtaxed. There's no doubt about it. So getting some starting pitching depth back and guys to just simply eat innings will probably make it easier on everyone in that bullpen. But for Camilo Doval, you know, me talking about him not being able to get into a rhythm because he has these moments where he doesn't pitch a lot or in a stretch of games, then pitches like in every single game, like, okay, that's whatever. Maybe there's some truth to it, but it's not an excuse for his poor pitching this season. And now if you're the Giants, you got to be a little bit concerned about your ability to close games in the ninth inning. And if you're the Giants, you don't have the ability to just kind of hang around and trick off a game here or there. Like, they desperately needed that game yesterday. Absolutely had to have it. And Camilo Doval enters the ninth inning, trying to set up Blake Snell's first win as a Giant. Tries to close the door on his first win as a Giant. Leadoff runner gets on first, then a double down the right field line, second and third, nobody out. And immediately you're thinking, oh my God, we were rooting for a perfect game just like 20 minutes ago. And now we're just hoping and praying that we can close out this one and win this game. He gets a strikeout, second and third, one out. And you're thinking, okay, just get any kind of out here. Can be productive out any kind of out, and we'll be an out away. And then Manuel Margot, I think he gets him on an 0-2 count. Almost gets him to go. There was a check swing and an appeal. No swing, ruled the first base umpire. And then Margot doubles to left center field. Both runs score, tie game, one out. And Bob Melvin says, you know what, I've had it. Camilo, I'm getting the ball from you. Ryan Walker comes in, two pitches, two outs. Gets out of the inning. Limits the damage to those two. And then Yastrzemski walks it off with a triple and an error. And the Giants win. They had to have that win. Now they're three games under 500, three games out of the wild card spot as they go into the All-Star break. And you look at what they have to do moving forward. The last place wild card team has about a 5-16 winning percentage. So you win a little more than 51% of their games, the third place wild card team. If we extrapolate that out for a full 162 game season, that means about 84 wins. Should get you into the picture at the very least, and potentially into the actual wild card. For the Giants to win 84 games this year, that would be 84-78, six games over 500. They would have to be 9 over 500 the rest of the season. That is a 37-28 record. Can the Giants go 37-28 over their final 65? Can they go 37-28 after their final 65? I don't know about that. That seems like a tall task. Now, Blake Snell's going to help a ton, but you've got issues popping up everywhere else. It's kind of like a game of whack-a-mole for the Giants. You fix one thing, right? Like, I whacked this mole, I fixed this one, and then something else pops up elsewhere. And for the Giants right now, they finally fixed their Blake Snell problem. You got another starting pitcher. You got Blake Snell. He's looking awesome. But also you don't have any starters anywhere else other than Logan Webb and Kyle Harrison, who came back, and Jordan Hicks. Maybe you're going to move to the bullpen in the second half. And then now you've got an issue popping up in the bullpen with Camilo Doval. It's a game of whack-a-mole for the Giants. If it's not one thing, it's another, and we'll see what the second half holds. You feel You feel really good about Blake Snell, but you need someone else. You need others to come along for the ride. Robbie Ray, Alex Cobb, we're waiting on you. You got to come back at some point. The Giants were practically begging Blake Snell to come back earlier than he wanted to. They're going to be begging everybody else to come back as well. We'll see how the second half goes, but at least the Giants closed out the first half with a win. All right, that'll do it for the pregame show here on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibs are standing by. They're coming up next. It's our jacked up week on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibs this week from 6 to 10. Bonte and Shasky from 10 to 2. Steiny and Goo from 2 to 6. And I'll be with you every day this week from 5 to 6 here on 95.7 The Game as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Mark Randy signing off. Willard and Dibs coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.